Hey there, welcome to the Envision podcast. My name is Karthik and I will be your host for today's episode. On this podcast, we bring together people who've had a positive impact on the blind and visually impaired community from across the world and share their stories with you. Today, on our podcast, we have Daan de Kort, a member of the Dutch Parliament. He entered politics at the age of 18 and is a huge advocate for inclusion and diversity here in the Netherlands. Daan also has a massive passion for DJing and is known as DJ Braille. He's truly one of a kind, and this will surely shape up to be an interesting conversation. Welcome to the podcast, Daan.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Awesome. So, you know, whenever I start this podcast, I'd like to really go back to the origin story of the person who I'm talking to. So could you talk to us a little bit about, you know, your childhood, where you grew up in, and what was the biggest, what incident in your life was the biggest impact in you becoming who you are today, you know?
Yeah, of course. As you can hear, English is not my first language, so I apologize when it's not that well. But I'm from the Netherlands. I'm born in the city of Veldhoven. It's near to Eindhoven. And the Eindhoven region is a kind of the Silicon Valley of Europe. Me and my brother Dirk had a really nice time as children, and with my parents John and Monique. I liked football or soccer, as you can call it. I liked to play the drums, so going to school, doing stuff like all everybody does. Mm-hmm. But when I was 15 years old, March 15 of 2008, I became suddenly visually impaired. So in a day or two from seeing everything, mm-hmm. I now see 4% both eyes in the center. Mm-hmm. So that had a lot of impact on me, on my life, but also on my environment, on my parents, on my family, on my friends. And that is the moment. I have a life before and after that moment.
Hmm. Interesting. And when you did become visually impaired at that young age, how did you and who in your environment really helped you cope with that, and who was sort of the inspiration in trying to help you make the most out of life, you know?
Yeah, that moment a lot changed in my life. When you get a handicap on that age, everything is different. You're not busy with being healthy. You're just busy with being who you are at that age, with playing soccer, with girls, with a lot of other stuff than having a handicap. On a moment in life when something like that happens, it's really important that people help you. And I've had a lot of help from teachers on my school, from friends, from my parents, of course. If I didn't have that help, I wouldn't be here as Member of Parliament at this moment. But it's a process of years. You have to live with your handicap and to know how to live when you're visually impaired.
And, you know, moving forward a little bit more from your school days, was how did you really, you know, adapt to living around when you were, for example, at university, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, did technology play a role at that point in time in helping you cope with this?
Yeah, it's really important there is good technology, because I've had at my iPad, my iPhone, and a voiceover system called Supernova on my laptop. And with that stuff, it was possible to go to university, to go to college. And if you don't have the technology of this time, I couldn't go to college and I couldn't go to work. So I really needed that technology to do my stuff.
Interesting. And, you know, I guess you mentioned you became visually impaired when you were about 15 years of age, right? And you started politics when you were 18. And that's a very interesting thing for a teenager to pick up.
Yeah.
You know, not a lot of teenagers tend to go into politics. What was the main motivation for you to start looking at politics? How did that enter your life?
Yeah, the main motivation to start politics was my handicap. In my opinion, everybody, if you are impaired or not impaired, has a goal in his life. And we have to make it possible. So we have to invest in for accessibility and inclusivity. So you can go for your goals. And there were a lot of institutes who wanted to decide for me what to do. And in my opinion, you have to decide yourself. So it's really important that the government makes it possible to make your own choices and to facilitate that you can go to college, that you can go to work. And that inspired me at the party where I am, the VVD. It's the Liberal Democracy Party in the Netherlands. And that's why I went into politics.
Interesting. And you started off as an alderman. Could you talk to us a little bit about what is an alderman, like, you know, who is an alderman? What does he or she do?
Yeah, I started the first 3 years behind the scenes. So as staff member of the local VVD city council party, so in Veldhoven, where I'm born and raised. And when I was 21, so that was the year of 2014, I became city council member for 4 years. Then you decide with other people of other parties, the decisions for your city. So for sports or for I have to find the words. And you decide all the things for your city, for building new houses, for culture, for sports, for education. I've did that for 4 years, and in 2018 I became alderman, and then you're a full-time politician, so you're really in charge of some issues for your city. And I was in charge of education, economics, sports, and that was a really interesting time, and I could do a lot for the city, and I could do a lot what in my opinion was the best to do for Veldhoven. And as alderman, you're kind of a deputy mayor of your city. And in 2021, I became member of Dutch Parliament. So now for 10 months, I'm the politician in national politics. You can trust blindly. It's a joke I always make. But in my opinion, it's also important that everybody is represented in politics. So, I'm there for millennials. I'm 29, but I'm also there for the South, where I'm from. And I'm there for the people who have an handicap. So to give them a voice in national parliament.
Interesting. And how did you go about doing that, you know, even from your very early days in politics? Could you talk about instances where, you know, where you had spoken for the community or initiatives that you are especially proud of in your early days that you might have introduced, you know, in your local community and so on?
Several stuff. But if I look back on my time as alderman, I'm the most proud of when I was responsible for the center of our city, that it's really important to keep the companies there, the businesses. And I arranged some investments in the city center of Veldhoven. And I arranged also that it was possible to park free again, so a more customers could go to Veldhoven and to buy stuff. So the stores will stay there. That's what I'm proud of. I introduced a council of sports members. So for the sports community, there is now a council who makes decisions with city council members. That's also a thing I'm proud of. And for a long time, also in the European Blind Union, I was member for representing the Netherlands. I did a lot about making elections accessible for people who are blind or visually impaired. So that are the three things I'm proud of.
Interesting. I do want to talk a little bit more about that, but you know, just to make a very brief detour, you're also a DJ, and how did that factor, you know, feature into your life? When did that enter into your life? You know.
Yeah, I always loved music and I listened to it, but I wanted to do more with it. So I played the drums, but then I started DJing. And, you know, when you're visually impaired, your other sentence became better. If you can see very well, then you can hear more and then you can feel more. And music is something you don't have to see. Music is something you have to feel, you have to hear it. So I think you're maybe even a better DJ when you're visually impaired. Huh. So okay. I started DJing. I learned Braille, we call it in Dutch. Braille, it's in English. Braille. And so my artist name was DJ Braille. And on the CD maps, I've had the Braille so I could feel which music I was going to DJ to play. And the CD player and the mix table, yeah, you can touch it and feel how to use it. So you can, DJ blindly.
Interesting. And do you still DJ or is it something that, you know, you've put on pause at the moment?
Yeah, I put it on pause, but I've DJed for 10 years on festivals and bars and discotheques. And I've quit when I became an elder man. I became a full-time politician because it's really hard to combine it. Politics is working really hard. And if you DJ until late in the night, in the weekends, yeah, that's not a good combination. But I miss it. How longer I don't DJ, how more I'm going to miss it. So I think I'm going to DJ sometimes again.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, if you do have mixtapes that are out there, you can definitely give us a link to it and we can put it in our description. And I think, you know, coming back to just, you know, going away from the detour and coming back to, you know, issues that you think are really important that need to be addressed in not just in the Netherlands, but maybe across the world for people who are blind and visually impaired. What kind of issues do you think should really be addressed, by governments, by local communities? What are the issues that you think should be up and center in when it comes to people who are blind and visually impaired or the community?
I think inclusion is really important and accessibility. So in my opinion, everybody should participate. If you're blind, if you're deaf, or you have some other issues. So it's the government who should arrange the right conditions so that it's possible that you can participate when you're blind. And that's what I do in Parliament with my colleagues, of course. The challenge is in every country is the challenge different. But even in a country like the Netherlands, we have to do a lot to make it possible that everybody can participate. So that's where I'm going for. But I also want to inspire people who are blind or visually impaired to show them that it is possible if you really want something that you can do it. And I hope that we can inspire in the Netherlands, maybe some other countries, to do more about inclusion and accessibility.
Interesting. And you know, and when you are out and about campaigning and things like that, right? Do you find it generally, like, what kind of ways do you use to sort of, you know, overcome your impairment and at the same time reach a lot of people? Are there, you know, ways other than regular campaigning that you do that makes it easier to reach more people?
For example, I've had my own podcast called, it's called Eye Opener. And in that podcast, I interview people who are blind or visually impaired, but who are really inspiring, in my opinion, who are ambitious, successful, and to show to people that there are a lot of people who are successful having their visually impaired, being visually impaired. So that's an example. Talk about it in interviews, but also talk about other stuff, because I want to show there's more than that handicap. So I'm Daan de Kort. I'm not that handicap. I have an handicap, but I also want to arrange stuff on other issues. So talk about this, but also talk about, yeah, really other important things, and to make the right decisions for the Netherlands.
And what are some of the issues apart from, you know, inclusion? Because I understand where you're coming from, because, you know, just because you're someone who's visually impaired doesn't mean that that's all you're going to be talking about, or that's all you're going to be about, in a sense, right? And what are some of the issues that you think, you know, need to be broadly addressed apart from the inclusion and accessibility stuff, which, you know, which you are a primary advocate of?
Yeah, I talk also a lot about social insurance, but also to I'm 29, like I said before, so I think it's important to being the voice of the millennials. So I have some other issues where I'm worried about and have an opinion on, so I speak talk on it in my party with my colleagues. And that are the issues I talk about: social insurance, visually impaired.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because as someone who's you know, a millennial myself, I think definitely there are issues that tend to affect us, our generation, a lot more. Specifically, areas like climate change or you know, economic inequality, things like that, which are really on the rise, which might not be a big issue immediately, but then can be a big issue when we're in our 40s and 50s, right? That those are the kind of issues as well, I think, that are quite interesting.
Climate change, migration, and it's also a really hard to get your first house as a millennial in the Netherlands. So the coronavirus, of course, at this moment. So there's a lot to do and a lot to talk about, and a lot to represent.
Yeah. And, you know, this is a question that might be a bit, you know, touchy, but I wanted to understand, you know, because as a politician who's very, you know, young and driven and ambitious, I'm sure you might have found politics a little bit slow, in the sense you might find that, you know, to bring about some change, you have to put in a lot of effort. What do you think about that aspect of politics? Do you think it's something that's, like, you know, necessary in a democracy, or do you think it's something that, you know, should be changed? Because as somebody who's, you know, who sees it from the outside, I often find that, you know, being a politician with a lot of ideals is very difficult, because, you know, you want to change a lot of things, but then you also have a huge system that kind of works against you, in a sense, right?
Yeah, it is really difficult, because there is a huge system, and you need a lot of time when it's arranged what you want. So yeah, I have the luck that I've studied public administration, so I know how difficult it is to make law and to get policy done. But in my opinion, it's more important to change it than quit, because it's so difficult. So I go for it, and I don't know the word in English for geduld.
Patience.
Sorry?
Patience.
Yeah, you have to be patient, and that's important when you're in politics.
Yeah. And you know, if there is one thing you'd like to tell as a politician, as an just to people who are listening to this podcast who could be aspiring politicians, why they should choose a career like this over, you know, other careers that they might probably have, because we do need good politicians, like we all, you know, can see in different, you know, in all countries, you know, but I think it's not a field that a lot of young people, especially I think our age folks, not really interested in participating in politics. What do you think is like the first step for someone who really wants to change things or do things in the community to enter politics? What would be the first thing based on your experience, right?
You know, it's really important that our voice, so the voice of blind people and visually impaired people, is being heard. And if you have an opinion on things, it's the most beautiful job to do. So if you have an opinion, and if you also think it's important to speak and stand up for the people who have a handicap, then you really should go into politics and enjoy it. You meet a lot of people, you can change some things, and yeah, it's a job I love, and I hope to do this a long time.
And how has your job, you know, like I've been also asking a lot of people who come on this podcast, because once the COVID pandemic hit, everyone's life and jobs changed in lots of ways, right? No one's job is ever the same anymore. How is your job as a politician, as a representative, changed, you know, ever since the pandemic hit? And what kind of, you know, tools and techniques do you use, you know, to stay on top of things during, like, you know, the pandemic itself? Like, how has your workflow changed?
Yeah, it really changed a lot, because as a politician, you want to speak to people, you want to visit companies, you want to visit society, you want to visit a hospital. You can visit a lot of places. But with the corona pandemic, it isn't possible anymore. And people have a lot of opinions about the decisions politicians make in this corona time. So it's getting harder. You're getting a lot of shit on Twitter and on your email. And because a lot is changing at this moment in the daily life of people. So I understand why they have an opinion on the decisions who are being made, but it's really a different job than it was before the corona pandemic.
Yeah,
but it's still a great job, and it's important to make decisions and be there for the people and represent them.
Yeah, no, I can completely imagine. I mean, if you're someone who's, I don't know, like a software engineer, you know, you're sitting in the front of a computer all day and you're not interacting with people a lot, that kind of work is not that affected by the pandemic. But I can imagine being a politician, you have to talk to people, you have to interact with people, and, you know, you need to have a connect with the audience that you're talking to. And I can guess that becomes so much more harder, right? When you have to do all of this over a Zoom call versus doing it in person. Right.
Yeah, of course, we still talk to people and we make contact and connect with them with Zoom and Teams and other programs. But it's not the same like being in a room with each other, doing some coffee and discuss what you want to discuss.
Yeah, I think it becomes so much more harder to connect with an audience when you're just, you know, two-dimensional screen that people see you. And they have to somehow connect with what you're doing, you know. And I think you might be. Do you also explore other, you know, new mediums that have come up that you know that younger audiences use, like maybe TikTok or Instagram? Have you experimented with those as well in your work?
Before the corona pandemic came, I already used a lot of social media: Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. But a new medium I've used since the corona pandemic is a Clubhouse. You can speak to people. So that's one of the new social media things I use.
Interesting. So I think, it's just like, you know, you have to constantly keep evolving with the new platforms that come out, right? Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I know I usually end the podcast with one question to all the guests. And that question for you, Dan, is like, what is your mantra? You know, what is the primary sort of principle in your life?
In my opinion, it's really important that you can participate, even when you're blind, even when you're visually impaired. And the sky is the limit. Everything is possible. I'm sure that everything is possible, even when you have a handicap like this. So go for your dreams, do your best for it. And in Dutch, I say, laat je niet beperken door je beperking. I don't know the translation, but it's something like you really have to think in what's possible instead of what isn't possible. And in my opinion, everything is possible, even if you're handicapped. And maybe there is more possible because every person in life is being confronted with some things they didn't choose for. So also for people like us, we have this handicap. But the choice you do have is what you're going to do with it and make the right decision. That's what I have to say. And yeah, the sky is the limit.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, you know, what you mentioned about being willing to participate and really making the best out of what you have right now and thinking of the sky being the limit and nothing short of that. I think those are some amazing principles to go by in life. And thank you for listening in on today's podcast. We really hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dan. This is also our last podcast for this season. Don't worry, we'll be back with a new season soon with more guests and new interesting episodes for you. So stay tuned and thank you so much.